HD Boston, 98.5 The Sports Hub, the Beasley Media Group station. Sports Hub headlines.
Semi Ojeleye is bound to factor in a big way tonight in Game 2 of the Celtics-Cavaliers Eastern Conference Finals. Okay, maybe not, but he's giving credit to Marcus Smart for showing him a lot of stuff.
Smart, you know, I think just seeing how much energy he brings every day. You know, it's never a day where Smart comes in here and he's going half speed. He's always, you know, 100%. So I think just watching how he gets up every day and how he, you know, has the motivation to bring it is something special.
We'll see how special everything is tonight when the Cavaliers visit the TD Garden for Game 2. 8:30 game start time, probably more like 8:40, 8:45. We will begin things officially here at 8 o'clock. Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell on the Mimecast Celtics pregame show here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Meanwhile, Red Sox and A's will play the second of a three-game set tonight. After the Sox lost 6-5 last night, Alex Cora giving credit to the visitors.
No, I mean, it's part of it. We've done it to other teams, too. It just happened. Davies put a good swing on a pitch down in the zone. He goes the other way. It's not that, you know, we had guys almost, you know, we almost put him away, and we didn't. And the kid Fowler, you know, he gets a cutter slider inside, and he stays inside that ball. It looked like it's a foul ball, fly ball to center, goes up the wall.
Okay, we don't need the whole thing. Eduardo Rodriguez gets the start for the second of the three-game set tonight. That's just a really long recap. Headlines are brought to you by the Boston area campus of the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Get in the game. Visit GoCSB.com for more details. I'm Hardy. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
A chunk of home games.
Boston
left.
Celtics coach.
How big is that for your team?
Brad Stevens.
Just continue to push ourselves.
Talks to Zolak and Bertrand. Wednesdays at 12:50 on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
We'll be talking to Daniel Wallach momentarily. Let me know when he's there, Tom. You tell me when. Daniel Wallach, who listeners of this program know from the Deflategate days. We welcome in Daniel Wallach, who joins us now on the Expert Hotline here on Zolak and Bertrand. Daniel Wallach, good to talk to you again.
Fantastic. I mean, this is like a Deflategate reunion, much more money involved.
That was really exciting those times. I get scared when we talk to you because I think, God, one of our athletes is in trouble or something around here.
Yeah. No, this is for good news today.
Yeah, this is great news.
Daniel Wallach on Twitter, at Wallach Legal is where you can find him. So yesterday, 7-2 ruling, Supreme Court says that sports gambling is a go. But what could get in the way of this? Because I know as part of this ruling, Daniel, Congress could stop it and put a ban in place.
No. Congress can't ban it anymore. What Congress can't do is stop the states from regulating it if Congress chooses not to regulate. So if Congress moves forward with federal legislation, and Orrin Hatch has indicated that he will introduce a bill in several weeks, Congress is free to pass a comprehensive framework for sports betting that could supplant or override state law. That it is allowed to do, but it can't stop states from regulating it if Congress chooses not to.
So there's no way that they could come in and say there will be no sports gambling and that it's a nationwide ban. Because was that the issue at play here, that some states had been grandfathered in and some states had it allowed while others could not? Is that why this got to this point?
No, it was because the ban was directed to states and not to individuals. Congress was always free to create a nationwide ban on sports gambling. That would have been perfectly valid. It may have been an unpopular law, but Congress was free under the Constitution and under the Commerce Clause to provide a nationwide ban. What Congress can't do is tell states to stay out of it if Congress itself is not going to regulate.
Where do you see this going with like the daily fantasy sites? I know people like DraftKings already put emails out yesterday. The potential of casinos. They have the sports book now. Like, you know, we have the local ones in Connecticut here close to us. How soon do you think, you know, those type of casinos will be handling sports books locally?
Well, I'll tell you what. I wish I had stock in DraftKings because the value of Jason Robinson's company just took a major upward spike. I know that might be counterintuitive to a lot of folks who think that fantasy sports is going to become less popular, but Jason and DraftKings have already, you know, begun to expand into their area of sports gambling. They've opened up a satellite office in Hackensack, New Jersey. They've staffed it up. They're applying for a sports gambling license. And with a user base of 10 million people or 10 million customers, I think they're going to be very much in demand as a partner with one of the casinos or racetracks or maybe even a whole bunch of them. And, of course, the end game for DraftKings is to be able to operate their own online sports book. And eventually that's going to be the way it goes. And I would watch out for that in Massachusetts, which is generally at the front end or the cutting edge of some progressive issues or progressive areas of gaming. The Gaming Commission was one of the first movers on daily fantasy sports. So was your Attorney General. And a couple of months back, the Gaming Commission issued a comprehensive white paper on sports betting. So I would be surprised if Massachusetts didn't legalize sports betting by the end of the summer.
But didn't fantasy sports spend a lot of time and money telling us that it's not gambling?
But sports betting is gambling. Fantasy sports may not be gambling, and that's certainly a matter of considerable debate when it goes from state to state. But I think when you expand your offering into sports gambling, you've basically crossed that third rail or touched that third rail. And while DraftKings and FanDuel might be able to credibly maintain that fantasy sports is not gambling, once you're offering gambling or sports betting, then that clearly is a different, a different conversation. And DraftKings readily accepts that designation when it comes to sports betting. After all, they're applying for a license.
So,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say to follow up on this. So, if let's say one of the sites you mentioned, DraftKings opening an office in New Jersey where it is legal to offer those wagers. What about someone who's in a different state right now? While there is no legislation, there is no law of the land, does that mean it's legal for them to offer sports wagering to people living in other states?
No, because of a different federal law called the Wire Act. The Wire Act is a federal criminal statute that prohibits the interstate transmission of bets or wagers. So no bets can cross state lines through wire communication facilities such as telephone, facsimile, and most importantly, the internet. If you're an out-of-state resident, if you're in Massachusetts and you want to gamble on sports and Massachusetts hasn't enacted a legal and regulatory framework, you're going to have to drive to New York, potentially, maybe even Rhode Island, could be Connecticut. You're going to have to physically be located in the state that has enacted a legal sports betting environment. So it's not based on citizenship. It's based on physical location.
Daniel, we see already certain places, for instance, in Las Vegas, Caesar's Palace, you can't lay a bet on the Celtics because one of the Celtics owners has a small interest in Harris Entertainment, whatever it is. How many problems do you foresee with states legalizing sports gambling because the owners of the teams in those states have a lot of different interests most of the time in different things? And I see paths crossing even more now if they legalize it within all these states.
I think that's somewhat of an overblown or exaggerated problem because the owners aren't playing in the games. It's so attenuated to look at, let's say, Robert Kraft's indirect passive investment in DraftKings or maybe a gambling operation and somehow connect that to the games that are playing on the field. I think it would be more problematic if one of the players had an investment in a gambling company or was a more active investor in something that might raise those red flags. But indirect passive investment by ownership groups where they don't have control or outsized influence, I don't think that's going to be a prolific problem, at least not in Massachusetts and at least not in most states. I think the concern is players and on information being given to gamblers. I think the leagues are going to have to be very proactive and creative in enacting a gambling policy that keeps pace with the modern age. The existing policies, particularly the NFL's policy, is a model based on 1940, 1950s America. You can't even walk into a casino. So education is going to be a big part of this. But I just don't see, you know, games being taken off the books, you know, given the passive investments by some of the owners. I just don't see it.
We're talking with Daniel Wallach, gaming and sports attorney. He's been on the show many times before, mostly during Deflategate, on Twitter, at Wallach Legal. Who are the big winners coming out of this states-wise? I know you mentioned Massachusetts could have it legal by the end of summer, but we know that there were already states that sort of got out ahead of it, including here in New England, Connecticut being one of those states. So how fast do we start to see the offerings in some of these states that sort of got ahead of it? And which states are going to come out winners right away?
Two biggest winners, in my opinion, are New Jersey and Mississippi. New Jersey won the lawsuit, so they get the MVP in my book. But for New Jersey's skin in the game, we wouldn't be having this conversation today. We'd be talking about a decade from now. So New Jersey will roll out sports betting at Monmouth Park on May 28th, Memorial Day. They're the number one winner, no question about it. That is a sizable gambling market. And then number two is Mississippi, and the reason they're a winner is that a year ago, they passed a fantasy sports law that made it possible for the casinos to also accept sports bets. And that was at a time before the leagues were even talking about an integrity fee. So the Mississippi legislature got ahead of the curve and was able to change the law before receiving any pushback from the sports leagues. And I could tell you from my knowledge of the marketplace and from my discussion with some of the key stakeholders, they're going to be ready to roll out in July and certainly no later than August 1st. And they're going to be the second state that comes to market. And with 30 casinos and a land-based environment, that is the sleeping giant of North American legalized sports betting.
Wow, Mississippi of all places.
That's a takeaway right there.
What about Connecticut? You got anything on Connecticut? Any idea?
There's problem with Connecticut is that, you know, while there have been several bills that have been introduced in public hearings, the Indian tribes are claiming exclusivity to offering sports gambling. And if the state tries to more broadly authorize sports betting and give it to other operators, the tribes are threatening to withhold, payments under their state tribal compacts. So there are some internal battles playing out in Connecticut between the commercial casinos and the tribes, and of course the overall battle between the sports leagues and the casinos over whether an integrity fee should be paid to the leagues and whether the leagues should be permitted or whether the casinos should be forced or required to buy their data from the leagues themselves. So these kinds of internal battles that are going to play out in many of these states are going to have a drag on the progress of some of these bills making it across the finish line. So in the short term, the states that are going to be the big winners are those that have already passed the laws, and that would be West Virginia, New Jersey, and of course, most importantly, the state of Mississippi. And of course, New York is waiting on deck, and Illinois might pass legislation by the end of June. So a half a dozen states are going to enjoy a significant first mover advantage. And if you're a sports fan in Massachusetts and you want to bet on the games, I think your best bet, at least initially, is driving over to New Jersey and betting at Monmouth Park Racetrack, or going to Atlantic City and betting at the Borgata. Or if you love southern cooking, get on a flight, go from Logan Airport and fly into Gulfport, Mississippi, where the casinos are 10 minutes away.
Yeah, see, I of those options, having to either drive to Atlantic City or go to Mississippi, I'd still rather get on the flight to Las Vegas out of those three options.
That's a fair point, but by the beginning of the NFL season, you will likely have more choices.
Okay. And you know what? Final question for you. The NFL came out the strongest against this yesterday in their statement. Do you think that they're going to change their tune if there is integrity fees or licensing fees that do come into play, especially if there's a federal framework, if you will?
The NFL's opposition to sports gambling has really been, I think, so overblown. Robert Kraft and a number of the individual owners have always been privately supportive of legal sports betting, just on terms that the league is comfortable with. And while this lawsuit was playing out with New Jersey, I think the NFL took a if not a neutral, certainly a negative posture. But all bets are off, so to speak, now that the case is over. And I think the leagues and the owners view sports betting as a significant fan engagement tool that could be the panacea for the decline in ratings. I mean, the league would be foolish to turn its back on legal sports betting and allow the other leagues to grab market share. There's just no way that that's going to happen. And the leagues will join, the NFL will join hands with the NBA, Major League Baseball, the PGA Tour, and the NHL in marching over to Congress and trying to persuade lawmakers to adapt a national framework, because unlike casino gambling, like dice games and slot machines that can be confined to a casino, the threat of corruption and match fixing in sports betting is global and crosses state boundaries. And the only way, the most efficient way it works is to have a national integrated, sort of hub through which there can be information sharing and cooperation among shareholders and stakeholders and law enforcement authorities all over the spectrum nationally. It just doesn't work to have 50 separate stock exchanges. But for now, that's the environment that we're going to have to live with. But I would expect Congress to accede to the league's request and pass something within the next 2 years.
Daniel Wallach, a gaming and sports attorney, also contributes to a number of websites. Give him a follow on Twitter where you can find all of his work, at Wallach Legal on Twitter. Daniel, thank you as always. Good talking to you.
Great talking to you as always, and I'm looking for the next Deflategate too, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Let's hope not. Let's hope not.
See you, Daniel.
All right, Dan, take care.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Daniel Wallach joining us here on Zolak and Bertrand. Dan Shaughnessy is with us. We will follow up on this story because I'm telling you, Dan, we can convince you that this is good for sports. Yeah. Sports betting, good for sports. We'll follow up on it next.
Zo and the Beatles. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
/12:22 Zolak and Bertrand, our thanks again to Daniel Wallach, Wallach Legal on Twitter. Dan Shaughnessy is with us, and Dan, you are against change. You're against sports gambling going above board.
How long before Pete Rose is clamoring to go to the Hall of Fame again?
Why? Why would this change anything for Pete Rose?
Everybody's okay with gambling now.
Everyone was always okay with gambling. No one's ever been okay with the guys in the games, coaching the games,
right,
managing the games, doing the gambling.
It's a, what do they call it with drugs? It's a it's a gateway.
So because of the CBA and the rules that you have in a National Football League, and it's been like this since I got into it in 91, and I still go in that locker room now, and the first sign that you see is no gambling.
Yep.
Illegal. Does that change?
No.
No.
Right.
No, it will not change.
It's like, yeah.
And it shouldn't.
No.
That part should not change.
It's like the marijuana thing. Right, like, it could be legal in that state, but
is it
if we catch you, our CBA says we fine you. We suspend you.
Is it going to be like ticket scalping, which is now sanctioned and done by the teams? Is that basically where this is headed?
I don't understand the parallel.
Something that
there
used to be kind of on the side and shady and illegal is co-opted by the teams, and they
that is eventually going to happen. And I think the sports leagues are going to get their share of the money.
Oh, I mean, this
I
is
mean,
like,
that's how yeah. this is going to work. I mean, and this is why you've got the NFL yesterday with their very harsh condemning the ruling yesterday, their harsh statement, which is so laughable because, owners in their league, as Wallach mentioned, are for it and have told people they're for
it. Franchise values just went up.
Because they know the opportunity that exists with television ratings.
Yep.
They know the opportunity that exists with their own licensing or integrity fees. That's a great one. The integrity fees that will be forwarded on to the league. What a bunch of baloney. Once they have an idea or they have it locked up that they're getting their cut, whether it be by Congress enacting a law or them making their own deals, oh, they'll be all about it.
Right.
Yep. They'll be all about it. So, listen, this is bringing something that goes on. It totals in the billions of dollars every year in this country. They're bringing it above board. They're going to be able to tax it. Okay? So you've got tax revenue of this.
I like the not above board part of it.
I'll tell you what's harder, Dan. You know what's harder to do when you have oversight, when you have gambling commissions or state boards in each state that regulatory commissions that watch how the lines move, watch where money's coming in. It's going to be harder to get by fixing the games without someone maybe picking up on it.
Imagine the amount of money that this league will potentially make down the road, Super Bowl week, or 2 weeks prior. Think about it. Think about the playoffs. I got three buddies that go to the London games every time the Patriots are. They said the number one thing that is the best thing about the event, not going to see Big Ben, not the city, not the game, we sit in the stands and we can gamble on our phones.
Everything.
That's where it's heading.
Did you see Steve Kerr for the game last night?
Did not.
His pregame.
What'd he do?
They said, what do you think of the game tonight? He says, I like the Warriors by 1.5. You know?
Yeah.
Hashtag LOL.
Oh, yeah. He went on a whole thing. He's like, I'd stay away from Boston in game two. You know, Cleveland in game two. No, I'm just kidding. Uh-oh. Yeah, who's that on line one for me right now? Uh-oh.
I mean, that's where the whole thing's going. It's going to be like part of the conversation with everybody.
It's always been a part of the conversation.
Not with them. Not with the coaches and players.
I think he's doing that on the day the Supreme Court makes a ruling. No, I don't think it's going to become commonplace where the guys at the podium start talking about the lines on their game.
You don't think LeBron will say that? Well, I had to put that last
bucket
in there.
I mean, the lines are already discussed by us outside of the teams all the time and have been discussed for years.
We have segments every Friday.
We have R.J. Bell. We talk about the lines on the games.
I like the shadiness that it's in the background.
How about this?
Why? Do you like to have any fun?
No. Yes.
Any fun whatsoever?
It's more fun when it's illegal.
No, it's not. You get some thrill out of it being illegal.
Go to the phone booth, get some burner phones.
What's the thrill on that?
Your view of fun is like playing ping pong with Peter Abraham.
Then going to Vegas and going up to the window and placing your bets, and it's fabulous. And now we're going to get that everywhere?
I've heard this yesterday, and I saw a lot of this on Twitter.
Have a window at the ballpark? You can just go over and do it on the side?
Yeah, maybe, you know, I think the day will come when that happens.
Yeah. You don't even have a window.
The day will come.
You're going to be
But you know what? It won't be at a window. It'll be on your phone.
You're going to have a kiosk. You're going to have ballpark kiosks.
Yeah.
Enter your bets here. Boom, 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 boom.
Like the
Keno
machines in the bars.
It's like a racetrack. Yeah. Here's your races.
There's a column that Randall Mel just posted.
Yeah, you mentioned this earlier, right?
No. This is something else, but it goes to... Like, you know, the players' involvement and fans and all that stuff. He said it's from the Golf Channel. And remember how we were talking a couple of weeks ago how fans were getting a little unruly and Rory McIlroy was unhappy with...
Yes!
Yeah, big baby.
Wait till fans are allowed to gamble legally on tournaments.
You choke!
Brilliant.
You think they're going to get a little unruly? Somebody missing a putt is a huge payday for someone else. Ruin!
Hardy. Click, click,
but
click.
But Hardy, here's the deal. If people want to gamble on it, they already are.
Yeah.
They're already doing it.
I heard
if
this.
If you're a big fan of something and you also want to gamble on it, you're probably doing it already.
But here's the email I was talking about earlier, which I got from a guy named Andrew Kirby. He listens to us in Australia.
Yes.
He says,
good day, mate.
This betting be just beyond the result, or are they allowing exotic betting on specific things within the game? For example, an NFL game, will the first points be scored a field goal or a touchdown? Will there be another field goal in front of the end? All the stuff that you can bet on, and they've toyed with this in Las Vegas, and I think you can do it in Vegas. You can, you know, live wager during the game.
Yes,
okay?
In-game wagering.
We've had issues in Australia where players have placed bets on this type of betting. One player named Ryan Tandy was banned from playing rugby, which may not seem like a big deal to us, but in Australia it is, where he had a friend place a bet for him on the first points were to be a field goal. He gave away a penalty, which could allow the opposition team to kick a penalty goal, but then went and scored a try instead, which would be a touchdown. He was found out and banned for life. Cricket has been the game where most players have been found guilty of match fixing. Hope it doesn't become an issue in America. I mean, if they're allowing in-game stuff, and this doesn't necessarily have to, it wouldn't be obvious as like point shaving is, or we think it is sometimes, or an official putting guys on the line for fouls aren't really there. If you're talking about just being able to wager on whether, you know, who's going to take the shot at the end of a half, if that's one of the exotic bets you can place, Marcus Morris has bet the house on this. Because I'm going to be out there. I always am at the end of the first half, and I will make sure I end up taking the last shot. Don't
you
worry about it.
Thank you, Hardy, for making my point.
It's
that's not your point? That was not your point.
What he said.
Shut up, Dan. That wasn't your point. But you could do this. Hardy, this could happen already with the Super Bowl. With all the, you know, crazy prop bets.
Yeah.
Apparently, they call those exotic
coin
bets.
Flip.
exotic coin bets toss over in Australia.
Defer.
That could already be going on, couldn't it? Tom Brady decides the first pass is going to be thrown to Julian Edelman.
But it's not the Tom Brady's you have to worry about. Guys,
Edelman's?
No, it's you know, the fringe players, the guys who might be out there and have a chance to influence. You don't think of them as being integral guys. But if they know they're going to be out there and they're going to be on the field or on the court or on the ice at a specific point in the game, yeah, you can absolutely change things. And it would be really difficult to spot.
All right, we've got Dan Shaughnessy with us. We'll continue with your calls on this. Sports gambling, the ban knocked down. PAPSA knocked down by the Supreme Court yesterday. Your thoughts on that. Also, Celtics getting ready for game two tonight. Dan's date's coming up at 12:50.
Are they aliens?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
A fighter come in on a hippie trail head full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, "Do you come from a land down under?"
So he met this lady early in the day because she took him in and gave him breakfast.
Where women glow and men plunder. That's the lyric.
I gotta get them badass, what's them things that hop and get the pots, the kangaroos.
But later, the reason why it's a problem, Beetle, yeah, is later on in the song, I come from a land down under where beer does flow and men chunder.
What does that mean?
We're going to find out right now.
Chugger.
But he also was buying bread from a man in Brussels. That's 6'4" and full of muscle.
I mean, the Brazilians, they excellent bread makers.
617-779-0985. Billy's in Waltham. Hi, Billy.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
Billy, what's up?
Hey, so quick question for Shaughnessy.
Yes.
I wanted to ask him, do you think the Cavs might fare better in this series had they held on to Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder?
No.
I think LeBron had like 7 turnovers in the last game, and I think if they want to get him in rhythm early, they can get him coming off screens, and they can get him posted up, guys. And he does. If he's not handling the ball as much, it would help. And Isaiah would have been great for that. But I feel like they gave up on him really early, and it's kind of biting them now.
Yeah, he's not healthy. That wasn't working out. And Crowder was a product of the Green Teamers.
We were told he was so good.
Couldn't part with him.
Yeah, Thomas is not healthy right now.
No, I mean, he's got nothing.
Right.
You listened to the show last couple days, and even going in last week when the whole Bledsoe, Terry Rozier thing was going on.
I was here when you guys had him on.
And the amount of Green Teamers the amount of Green Teamers that talking about the potential of maybe keeping Terry Rozier over Kyrie Irving.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know that's out there. Stop with that.
Crazy. Stop. Mike in Framingham. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing? Somebody was saying that if they do the prop bet, it'd be hard to catch them. It'd be easy to catch them because, first off, they're not going to bet $10 or $20. They're going to bet big to make it worth their while. That's how you're going to catch them.
Okay, so if gambling's illegal in the NFL, and you're not allowed to gamble.
Large sums placed on random prop bets by millionaires is gonna raise some eyebrows or set off some alarms.
How do you stop family members of NFL players from gambling?
You don't. You can't.
Well, say your wife's got an online gambling account, or maybe a cousin.
But and does what with it?
Does what you tell them to do with it. And you're playing in the league. I'm just saying there's ways around this to get
around. But based on the money that athletes make,
the
amount of money. But not all athletes. It's the fringe guys. Again, we're talking about the guys making $300,000-$400,000 a year.
Can I ask you a question? What stops them from doing that now?
It's a good question.
Not a lot.
Nothing.
Availability.
Right. It is more convenient to do it once it's legalized.
Like, I don't think
if that's what you're into and that's what you want to be doing, what stops you from doing it right now? What stops you from having a friend who lives in Las Vegas and you call him up all the time and you say, go to the casino and do this for me?
You think you'd do that, or you just have the PEDs just sent directly to your house in your name, one or the other. I mean, why do athletes do that are stupid?
Here's
my charge card. Swipe it.
It's not even so much for the athletes risking everything. It's for you know, members of their family, friends, entourage. And you know, a lot of these guys are young guys. They get themselves into situations that they don't want to be in. Get bored. Thank you. Get themselves into trouble. Here's an easy way out for you. You know, you do this one thing for me, and I'll be able to. I'm not going to make a lot of money off it, but all my associates are going to do the same thing. They're all going to go bet the same thing somewhere else. And now your problem with, it's not even your problem, but your buddy's problem that he has with our people, and that's going to be fixed. And again, there's nothing really stopping it from happening now.
No, there isn't. It's already happened. Access. It happened with Pete Rose. It happened with Tim Donaghy in the NBA. It's college already basketball. Happened.
Yeah, sure.
It's happened in college basketball. It's happened right up the road at Boston College.
Yep.
Multiple times.
Ernie Cobb. Rick Kuhn.
It's happened before. Henry Hill. You know that?
Yeah,
I thought you did. It's happened already. So what stops it from happening? Nothing. Nothing stops it from happening.
Met Henry Hill at the one of the Howard Stern events at the Hard Rock in Las Vegas, and he was one of the guests on the show. He was sitting in a slot machine. I thought, you know what? I'm not going to stand right next to this guy anymore.
Someone might be out there.
I think the contract was still out on him. This is like 20 years ago. I don't think that had gone away yet. Like, yeah. Especially if you see a red dot dancing over your shirt, you might want to step away. Go to the other side of the circle bar there. Just take my chances over on that side of the room.
We had him on a radio. Back in Providence back in the day. Once he got out.
Ralph is in Cranston. Hi, Ralph.
Hey, guys. You know, Dan, you've seen as much basketball as me. This is not the best, but this is the quickest Celtics team I've ever seen. That's why they're winning to me, you know. What do you think?
No, I think the sheer youth that they have, and defensively they're very quick. And in transition, they're very dangerous. So, yeah, I agree with that.
Now, Lou made a bad decision. You know, I expected Thompson to come on and be that bruiser that he normally is against us.
Yeah.
We really don't have anybody defensively or down low to rebound with him. I expected J.R. Smith to come out like they have to tonight. They have to come out extremely physical, and they have to get a break from the refs. James couldn't do that the first game, but they have to be extremely physical. Now, what people aren't seeing is the quickness. And that's why I don't think I think they could win this. And I said it earlier, if they can't adjust, they can't. No shot against Golden State, because Golden State, as we saw last night, is as quick, if not quicker than them, with the stars, too.
Yep.
But I think, and I said it before, if Cleveland has to adjust to Boston, if they don't, this could be a five-game series. I just can't see, without being physical and banging, Cleveland being in this series.
The guy who knows what he's talking about, picking Celtics in five right there, Beetle.
I think tonight will give us a better understanding of where this is going.
It's serious. It's serious now. It really
tonight's
is.
The biggest one.
Yep.
Biggest game of the series. Happening tonight at TD Garden. And you can hear it live right here on the Sports Hub. If they win tonight,
look
that,
out below.
I think that changes things dramatically in a big, big way. I'll change my prediction if they win tonight.
I'm going to Cleveland, Beetle. I'll be there.
I know. They love you in Cleveland.
They do. Drop confetti.
Big,
at the
big tour stop for you.
Yeah.
Get the pierogies.
The $3 PBRs, it's great.
Yep. Okay, coming up next, it's Dan's dates. Are they good today? They better be.
You asked me not to do that.
Are they good?
Sell it.
I wouldn't do that.
Are they good? I feel like we need a good one today. Okay, good. I'm glad. Thought last week was, outside of Aaron Neville, even though Aaron Neville wasn't really in there.
It launched a whole network.
Dates are next.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, Zone, and the Beatle. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It is no longer wise to ignore it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Damn it, I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
If you're Dapper Dan.
Today, May 15th, Dan Shaughnessy here to deliver the dates.
Wow, May 15th.
What do we have? Turn your microphone on. There,
May 15th. The bad news, Beetle, is no real Third Reich Führer Nazi machine stuff that I could find.
That is a shame.
And no connections to any of the Neville brothers, as far as I can see.
Are you sure?
Because you never know.
I mean,
really gave way to a lot
they're
of
connected to
do they have an album come out on this day?
No, nope, I couldn't find it. Birthdays. People who were born on May 15th.
Okay.
George Brett. How old do you think George Brett is?
George Brett, I'm going to say, is 58.
Did you ever hear George Brett had a great steak one night?
60.
Phenomenal steak.
George Brett is 65 and looking good.
Wow, he's 65.
He's got his Medicare
he looks
card.
Great.
You ever hear the steak casino story?
What's the steak casino story?
He had a great steak, and he's sitting there, and his lips start sweating in the elevator, and he craps his pants. You don't remember that?
No.
You never heard that story?
He told the story while he was mic'd up.
Oh, really?
And the tape of him telling the story was...
It's one of the greatest sports
stories. Leaked out.
Well, and he missed...
Got a towel and a wet towel and...
He missed games with hemorrhoids in the 1980 World Series. Yeah, we all learned how to spell it.
Wow.
We were playing the Phillies.
Do you still remember? Is it like riding a, is spelling hemorrhoids like riding a bike?
There's a silent H in there somewhere. I guess they're always silent.
I got a quick hemorrhoid story for you.
Do you? Really?
Yes.
Come on.
So I was drafted here in 91. One of the other guys was drafted in my year. I think he was a 6th or 7th round draft pick.
Why are you doing this?
Harry Colon.
Come on.
True story. Honest to God. Harry Colon.
Story. The guy's
he was a defensive back. Ended up having chronic hemorrhoids and he had to get surgery. And we remember peeking our head in the treatment room because he was face down having to get treatment on his hemorrhoids. And his name was Harry Colon.
Oh, boy.
And we just used to giggle out in the hall.
It seems like something I would go to a doctor for. I wouldn't allow to be taken care of in the training room.
Well, after you had the surgery, he was under the care of our team.
It was a checkup.
It was treatment with a hot
team doctor pack. Doing a checkup.
Never know you're lancing something.
Hardy, ever heard of wavy gravy?
Yeah, it's a ice cream flavor.
Well, he was also, he was at Woodstock. He is 82 today. He was one of the MCs at Woodstock. This is a guy you all know. I know that Zoe knows this guy. Chaz Palminteri.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Sonny.
72 today, Sonny.
Sonny.
He has made a franchise out of A Bronx Tale.
Now you just can't
movie,
leave.
Broadway show.
Doesn't he, Zoe, what do you have, a vodka or a wine that he came out with?
Yeah.
I think it was,
It is, it's vodka. I just looked it up.
I have his email.
A Bivvy. Bivvy vodka. Yeah. Is Chaz Palminteri's vodka.
I have his email. We're email friends.
Are you?
Yep. Yeah,
started. Again, another random celeb that Dan Shaughnessy keeps in touch with.
He used to go to Yankee games. He just loved talking about the Yanks. He's got a couple restaurants. There's one in Baltimore, one in New York. So, yeah.
I eat there.
Yeah, he's great.
Real Italian food.
He's great. Okay, Amy Chow is 40 today, the famed gymnast.
Nope.
Emmett Smith. How old do you guys think Emmett Smith is?
40.
Emmett's got to be. No, he's older than me. No, he is younger than me.
Beatles very close. He is 49 today.
That's right.
Tennis player Andy Murray was born on May 15th. He is 31.
You related to Ann Murray?
Yeah.
This Last Dance?
Yep.
Bye.
No, he's not. Ray Lewis ascending into heaven. How old do you think he is?
Ray Lewis. He's got to be younger than Zoe.
47.
45.
He's only 43.
No!
He's been out of the sport like 5 or 6 years.
He's old 43.
Yeah.
He's an old 43.
Yeah, he wasn't playing into his 40s. Yeah.
I thought he was close to 40, so he was...
Good for Emmett. He looks
as close as I thought he was.
Emmett looks younger than Ray.
Got his own statue. On May 15th, stuff that happened on this day. In 1941, Joe DiMaggio began his 56-game hitting streak against the Chicago White Sox. On this date in 1967, Paul McCartney met Linda Eastman, who became the
Linda
first
McCartney.
Mrs. McCartney.
Yep.
She was, of course, was a member of Wings. And what was
she had a wooden leg, didn't she?
No, that was the second one.
Oh.
But Linda was the true love of his life. They were married a long, long time.
Yep.
And other than being in Wings, what was her family famous for?
Ooh.
Linda Eastman.
Kodak
bats.
Eastman.
Correct.
Camera.
Bats.
She was part
of the heiress of the Eastman Kodak
Eastman Kodak.
Yes.
I did not know that. So she was wealthy prior to it.
She didn't need the dough. Did not marry Paul for the dough.
She was married for the ugly face.
Married for
true
love.
True love. Paul was a cute beetle.
Hello.
Other stuff that happened on May 15th. In 1672, the first copyright law in the American colonies was enacted in Massachusetts. On this date in 1918, U.S. airmail began.
I mean, it's a good one.
It was pretty fast. I mean, figure the Wright brothers to 1918. Wasn't that much time. They're airmail.
Well, once they got the planes working.
Why not?
Put a piece of mail on it.
This is kind of big one. On this date in 1928, on May 15th, the Walt Disney cartoon character Mickey Mouse made his debut.
Steamboat Willie!
It was in Plain Crazy, animated short. But Steamboat Willie was early.
Steamboat Willie was the first one.
Mickey's early works.
Huh. You're a Disney member, that's the classic, buddy. They roll that sucker out wherever you're at.
On May 15th in 1948, hours after declaring its independence, the new state of Israel was attacked by Egypt, Syria, Iraq, and Lebanon. They were not down with the new state at that time. Still aren't. This is actually relevant to today. On this date, 1968, 2 days of tornado outbreaks began in 10 Midwestern cities.
That's mulch. That's right. 73 people died.
Who did?
Yes, tornadoes in the Midwest on this date in 1968.
Why were there no plans there to avoid the tornadoes? Did they not figure that out until later?
Doppler. Prior to Twister.
It was no 1896.
What was that name of that? Dorothy, right?
No, it was basements in 1896.
Bunch of idiot settlers walking around. I don't know. Twister. Twister.
1896.
When did Bill Pullman get Dorothy to take off where they had that movie and it all went up in a hurricane? That's all those little data readers.
Twister.
Right.
Helen Hunt was in that.
Yeah. It's a good movie.
Twister was the movie.
But there might be tornadoes
today. They go over to that aunt's house and they got that steaks and mashed potatoes. And
they use the Coke cans and Pepsi cans to create the little propellers.
Yeah. Who's the tool bag at following around?
I'm telling you, there are tornado warnings this afternoon. So all need to be aware.
Jonah.
Here?
Yes.
Oh.
There's tornado warnings in Massachusetts.
There's some big storms rolling.
Jonah was in it for the money.
In 4 hours, you won't be laughing.
Well, we're going to stay on this course.
Big money and tornado chasing.
On this date in 1972.
He wasn't pure like us.
On this date in 1972, Alabama Governor George Wallace, segregation now, segregation forever, was shot and left paralyzed while campaigning for president in Laurel, Maryland. He was shot by? Nobody knows.
Edie Frome.
Arthur Bremer, who may still be alive. He served 35 years for attempted murder. On this date in 2008, California Supreme Court declared same-sex couples in the state could marry.
That was only 10 years ago?
That was in California.
I know. I remember that, though. That was big. Longer than that.
Okay. I might be ready to turn it over now. I'm just checking before I turn it over to one of the good ones here. One last one before I turn it over to Hardy. This is big. On this date in 1940, the first McDonald's opened.
Oh, that is big.
That is big.
Ray Kroc?
Yes. McDonald's brothers.
That was before Ray Kroc had kind of taken it over.
A little bit of trivia about this. What were the names of the McDonald's brothers? What did they go by?
Ooh. Ronald and Donald.
No, they went by Dick and Mac.
Dick?
Dick and Mac. And they
Dick Mac. That should be the new burger.
So that's why they went with the Big Mac as opposed
that
to.
Is absolutely.
Or the McDick.
They had to choose. Somebody had to get the sandwich name.
Like, how do you make it? You're thinking I'm going to make the Big Mac? What if it was like the
Big Mac? Yeah, let's just go with Big Mac. Let's just go with that.
It was either going to be.
Make the menus.
The alternative was unthinkable. So
the Dick Mac.
The Big Richard.
That is a true story.
Two all beef patties. Yes, they were.
That is I read
special
that.
Sauce.
And their actual names. Lettuce, cheese.
Takes on a whole new meaning.
It's your pickles on your sesame seed
bun. It's the Big Mac because they could not name it after the other brother.
Richard and Maurice McDonald, the two McDonald brothers who started the restaurant chain.
Maurice was the lucky one to
the
have
rhymes
the
are Daryl's. The burgers are Ronald's.
The Big
tree.
Mac.
My brother. My sister.
Okay.
Have you seen the movie, by the way, that they made about that?
Loved it.
Is it Michael Keaton, right?
Yes.
It's supposed to be really good.
It's worth seeing.
Okay.
It is worth seeing.
What's it called?
I'll tell you what, doesn't sugarcoat the story.
All right, good.
It shows Ray Kroc as the scheming guy that he was.
And the woman he married has a daughter who married Jeremy Capstein twice. Don't forget that either.
I had forgotten that, but now I won't.
Yeah,
where's he now?
Jeremy is with the Baltimore Orioles.
Right.
Duquette brought him in.
You drink and drive, you lose. I'm Jeremy Capstein, senior advisor of the Boston Red Sox.
His magic for the Orioles.
And now I remember the story about
Southwest headphones.
One of the best stories about Capstein was in your book with Terry Francona, where Capstein walked in with a cell phone, and Terry Francona was drugged out following surgery, and Capstein's handing him a cell phone going, this is yours, this is how we're going to communicate, I'm in charge now.
And then he put him on the phone with Keith Jackson. Inexplicably, it's like, yeah, this is Keith Jackson. How are you, Tito?
Oh, Nelly.
What a weird set of in charge now.
He tried to have a coup. Yeah, like, yeah,
yeah. Was he Alexander Haig?
He thought he came in, there was.
Tito came out of a haze, drug induced haze.
And I'm in charge.
Jeremy gave him a burner.
Capstein hands him a burner and tells him he runs the Red Sox now.
Yeah, that happened. That's in the book, yeah.
That happened.
Yeah, that was
it's in the book. I read it.
Yeah, it was a good one. And on this date, Hardy, I'm turning it over to you now.
Oh, this you're going to love this,
May
okay?
15th.
Here we go. On this date, 15 May in the year of our Lord, 1912, at Hilltop Park, Ty Cobb, after days of listening to verbal abusive Highlander fans, jumped into the stand near the Tigers' dugout and pummels Claude Luca, who has no fingers on one hand and only two fingers on the other.
What?
Due to an industrial accident. The Georgia Peach lands at least a dozen punches to the head of the heckler.
The handicap guy?
To the head of the heckler, knocking his victim down before kicking the hapless fan in the lower body with his spikes. Reports from the scene say, yes, the fan was indeed dark-skinned. so Ty Cobb enjoyed this immensely.
Oh, God.
The last two sentences were added by me.
Yeah, thank you.
No, that is, but except for the part that Hardy made up at the end there,
everything else was true.
He went off on a guy with, like, no hands, basically.
Nice.
You know,
nice guy.
Good guy.
There's one more thing, very
there's
quick.
A baseball
well, at least he wasn't going to get poked
in
the eye.
In 73, Nolan Ryan had his first no-hitter on this
date. On this date, 1982, a certain song began a seven-week run at number one on the top of the pop chart.
And it is...
Ebony and I live not about Ty Cobb.
Perfect harmony, side by side on my piano. Keyboard, oh Lord, why can't we?
What was it that Dan was talking about when he brought up Ebony and Ivory and he said, you know, it's like one, it's a black guy and a white guy.
You get it?
Was it about this song?
Yes,
I think it was. You were explaining this song to us.
What was better, this?
It's like the piano keyboard.
Was this better or was Michael Jackson's black or white better?
Right. Yeah,
I go with Michael Jackson's.
But Dan was like, well, you know, Paul McCartney was white and Stevie Wonder, he's black. Ebony and Ivory. One's black, one's white.
And the piano, the keyboard, you know, they have both.
Yes, well,
here we go.
Yes.
Why are the white keys bigger?
We all got it. We all understood it.
We all understood
when the song
your
first
point.
Came out.
Thank you, Dan.
Okay.
Good work as always,
I'll
Dan.
I'll be back from Cleveland. We'll do it again.
All right. We'll talk to Dan Shaughnessy next week upon his return from Cleveland. He is very much geeked up about the Celtics. He likes the Celtics tonight. I can tell. Don't you, Dan?
I'm fired up.
He's fired up. 90 seconds, no commercials. Here are the headlines with Hardy.
Do you get the metaphor there, the keys, ivory and ebony?
I don't know.
Black and white?
What do you mean?
This little metaphor there.
I see the world in
it's
shades
a,
it's of gray.
A harmony.
I don't know
thing.
What you're referring to. You
black and white together on the keyboard.
That's a
sitting
piano.
Sitting at the keyboard.
Yeah.
A black guy, a white guy.
Touchdown! Score!
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston. 98.5 The Sports Hub.